In. Good to see everybody here this morning. Happy Father's Day once again to all the dads out there. If you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12 this morning, verses 12 through 20, and we'll be there shortly. So one of the things that I like to do that I feel like I can do well is cook. As you can tell, I like to eat also, whatever I cook, but I do enjoy cooking. I enjoy grilling. I enjoy cooking anything meat. And that's one thing I just enjoy doing, that I do for our family, that I've always enjoyed doing. And if you're a cook, that it's important to have the right tools when you cook, the right kind of utensils that you need in order to cook whatever it is that you're cooking. If you're trying to grill hamburgers, you know, some of the ones that you buy in town, you can get the kind that they kind of fall apart as they cook. And, you know, you need a spatula for that and not the tongs, because you get the tongs, then you get the patties breaking and all of a sudden everything has gone haywire and it's not a hamburger anymore. It's just random pieces of meat on the grill. Or if you're cooking hot dogs, you might have the spatula instead of the tongs. Then all of a sudden you find hot dogs rolling off onto the ground where the dog can get them. You need the right tool when you are cooking. Yesterday, we were in Fort Worth for our monthly homeless ministry, and I had the first time since I've been here, I had the opportunity to be the one who got to deep fry the chicken fried steaks, and I know that if I didn't have tongs, that wouldn't work. Like, that changes the whole situation, right? Because there's no other way to get those out of the grease than with tongs. If I had a fork, it would get really messy. A spatula wouldn't work. Some kind of spoon wouldn't work because I'd have grease all over myself. The tong is the perfect tool for that situation. And just like it is with anything, for cooking, you've got to have the right tool for the right situation. And the same is true in ministry in general. I'm sure you've tried to accomplish a task using the wrong tool. Maybe on an icy winter morning, you get outside and you have ice all over your windshield. And since we live in Texas, you don't have one of the de-icers, any of the stuff that you spray on it, or the little plastic blade that you pull out of your car if you have that. And so you need to get to work in a hurry. And so you just pull out your least favorite credit card or the credit card you never use, and you just start going after it. And sooner or later, it breaks. The next time you try to use it, it won't work. Maybe if you've locked your keys in your car before, you've had to try to jimmy the lock with a hanger or try to figure it out some way, and you realize that that's not the best way to open a door, that a key seems to work a whole lot better. Or maybe if you get a package from Amazon in the mail and you want to get into it quickly, right, and you don't have a knife or you don't have scissors around, you find a pen or a pencil and you jab it in there to try to open it up, you break the pencil. You've got to have the right tool for the right job. And if you use the wrong tool in the wrong situation, you just end up breaking stuff. And the same is true for life in general and ministry in particular. We all have different spiritual gifts, and we all need those spiritual gifts in each situation, whatever those situations might call for. For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the idea of spiritual gifts, the way that the Holy Spirit has gifted us with unique talents, abilities, other things we might call them, but what we know biblically is spiritual gifts in order to edify the body and those around us. You were created just the way you were to be a part of God's plan to redeem the world. God granted you with at least one, if not several, spiritual gifts that he wants to put in you to be part of his plan to redeem the world. And that plan involves being a disciple maker. And that's what we talked about last week, that all of our gifts play into the great commission of Jesus Christ to go out and make disciples of all nations. In some way, the talents, abilities, the spiritual gifts that God has given us should be used in that direction. This week, we're going to look at the idea that we're not the only one gifted, that all of us share part of that giftedness from the Holy Spirit, that each of us have different, unique gifts, extraordinary gifts given by God, and somebody who's very different than us is just as necessary to the plan. And so as we think about spiritual gifts and we think about coming together as the body of Christ to do the work of Christ, to complete the Great Commission in this world, there's one simple truth that we want to focus on this morning, and that is this fact. I need you, and you need me. I need you, and you need me. And this isn't an accident. This is exactly the way that God planned it. We live in a world full of diversity, and it would only make sense that God would bless us with such a spiritual gift diversity so that we might reach that world. None of us are the same, yet we all have the same objective. And in 1 Corinthians 12, the passage that we're about to read, the Apostle Paul brilliantly declares this truth, describes this truth by using the metaphor of a body. That we are many parts of the same body in Christ with one common goal, again, that we talked about last week, to make disciples. And so let's go ahead and read Paul's words. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, reading through verse 20. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the one body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Paul declares that we are one body, and we all identify first and foremost as followers of Jesus Christ. This is how we view ourselves. This is, again, our goal, our common denominator that we talked about last week, followers of Jesus seeking to make his name known in this world. And if we focus on that, we might realize that we have much more in common than we actually realize. Being followers of Jesus Christ actually makes us pretty unique in the world. We often like to delineate our differences, whether it be doctrine, whether it be ethnicity, language, whatever it might be, in the body of Christ. But ultimately, if we believe that there is a God and that he sent his only begotten Son to come and save us from our sin, who died for our sin, was resurrected 3 days later, went up into heaven, and is coming back at the end of days to judge the living and the dead, if we believe those like simple truths, all of a sudden we've put ourselves in a pretty exclusive club in the world. Because there's a lot of people in the world that don't believe in any God. There's a lot of people in the world that believe in God, but not as manifested in Jesus Christ. If we believe in the gospel of Jesus, then all of a sudden we've put ourselves together in one body. And if we could stop for a moment, a few more moments than we do right now, and see the unity in that, perhaps we could not focus on differences so much and work together. The same Holy Spirit, Paul says, is within each of us. Like our DNA, it's all similar. We're all programmed towards the same end. We all have this, the Spirit within us. We all have the same master. And now this isn't unity just for the sake of unity. I think one of the mistakes we can make when we talk about coming together in the church is we can want to be together just to be warm and fuzzy and just to feel good about ourselves and to just, you know, kumbaya moments and have buddies and brothers and sisters and all this wonderful stuff that makes us feel good, makes us feel like we're not alone. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about unity for the sake of something. We're not united just to be united. We are united for a purpose, for a reason, around a common goal. Again, to glorify God by making disciples. Sports fans, particularly basketball fans, maybe if you've watched the NBA Finals this past year, maybe you haven't. But if you haven't, a team by the name of the Golden State Warriors, with a very outspoken Christian as their leader, also won the NBA MVP, won the NBA Finals this year. And they are together as a team, not just because they like each other, right? If you ever were on a team that had success of any kind, you probably knew, and I'm not talking about just sports. I'm talking about any group that was united around a common goal. What you probably learned about your team, especially if it had a lot of people on it, is that there were some people on that team you didn't necessarily care for. Can I get an amen on that one? There were some people in your family that you didn't necessarily care for, but that you gathered together anyway, because that's what you do as a family or as a team. You might not hang out with that person after the team activities are done, but you're still on the same team, united around a common purpose. And so the Golden State Warriors weren't just a team because they liked each other and wanted to hang out. They were a team because they wanted to achieve success, perfection, and then win the NBA Finals, which they did. And their goal was realized. And in that same way, you and I are a part of a team. We might not be best of buddies all the time. We might not have everything in common. We might not even hang out on the weekends or other things besides what we do as a body. But we come together to be unified, to love each other, to care for each other, to bear each other's burdens, not just because we want to feel good and unified and kumbaya, but because we have one God that we serve together, and he has one plan for us to redeem the world that we get to be a part of by making disciples of all nations. I need you. And you need me. We need each other in order to get that goal accomplished. We are one, Paul tells us. We're also many. We are diverse. Each of us is gifted in different ways. I don't know if you've ever taken one of those Myers-Briggs or other kind of personality tests where somebody writes a test and they try to pigeonhole you into exactly who you are. You know how those kind of things work, right? And you learn, you're supposed to learn things about yourself and you see how diverse everyone is. And there's usually somebody who has some sort of personality trait that you wish you had. Whatever those personality traits are and whatever all the myriads of personalities, that's what I've learned by going through those tests is that there's so many different versions of human around us. There's so many different versions of person. Like there's really normal people that are just like me, and then there's really weird people that aren't anything like me. You know what I'm talking about, right? We're so different. We have such vastly different personalities, but that's a good thing. Can you imagine a world in which we were all the same? One of the things that I consistently notice in other people is the weaknesses that I have. Right? You know that, right? You know the old saying that what you hate the most in someone else is what you see in yourself. Imagine having 7 billion of yourselves walking around where every day, every second of every day, every person that you meet, you get to be reminded of one of your weaknesses. How awesome would that be, right? How boring and wonderful would that life be for us all to be, look, sound the same? Imagine hearing my voice the same. This one voice being the only voice, that would be so much of a downer and a bummer. I would hate it. And there's other voices that I wouldn't like to hear all the time either, but we're all together, right? We come together with a diverse sense of giftedness, with a diverse sense of personality, and we come together for one purpose. And our tastes can be evidence of that. I like singer-songwriter music. I like a guy or a gal and a guitar and his or her voice, and they have something to say. Like, that's my music. That's up my alley. I don't get rap very much. I never really have. I tried to, as a kid, act like I did, but it just never really sunk in. And there's part of me that wants to say, well, that's not music, right? That's usually why guys who don't understand rap say about rap, is that, well, it's not music. I don't know what that really means. But you know what? There's some truth in some of that. There's a lot of Christian rap artists out there who tell truth, who, as they would call it, y'all aren't going to understand this. The next crowd will. They spit truth, right? They speak truth, word. Okay, I'm way off base with this crowd. But you know what I'm talking about, right? About how sometimes it just doesn't make sense when we see other people's tastes and we wonder what's with that. You know what? Just because you don't like it or it doesn't speak to you doesn't mean it doesn't speak to them. I don't like opera either. And rap and opera are on other ends of the spectrum, but I know both of them have spoken truth to millions of people in this world. Another thing I don't like, menudo. Anybody ever had menudo? I had the opportunity with one of our deacons in Bront. His wife made a good menudo. So I thought if I'm going to have a menudo, I'll have a good menudo. I didn't know there was such a thing as good pig intestine, but evidently some people think there is. But there's another part of the pig that I love. It is called bacon. Now, can I get an amen on some bacon this morning? Everybody loves bacon, right? Or at least I thought that. I heard somebody this week say, I don't like bacon. I immediately decided that person needs to be excommunicated from our church, and we need to move forward. Because everybody should like bacon. It's bacon, for goodness sake. It's proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. It's bacon. But you know what? Not everybody likes bacon. Not everybody likes macaroni and cheese. That's another one of my favorite things. We all have different tastes. We are a diverse people. We might have a same unifying goal to make God's word known, to make disciples of all nations, but we do it in very different ways. And here's a beautiful fact of this. Even God, the triune God in himself, is a diversity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He, the one God, relates to us in three different ways, through three different persons. Even God is diverse in himself. Jesus related to different people in different ways. When you saw him speaking to the Pharisees, he spoke very directly. His words were, you better get right, basically, or you're going to get left. He made it very black and white. This is what you need to do. When there were people who the Pharisees viewed as sinners, the tax collectors and the harlots, Jesus seemed to speak with them with opening, with welcoming arms and open to have them in and treated them well. And if he was going to speak against them, he would say something very, very encouraging, like just, you know, nobody's here to judge you. Go and don't sin anymore. That was the way he approached those kinds of people. And when you look at that, a Pharisee is tempted to say, well, Jesus is being inconsistent. Yes, he is, because different people need different approaches. Paul put it a different way in 1 Corinthians 9:22 when he said, I have become all things to all people so that by all means I might save some. Paul became a Jew to the Jews, a Gentile to the Gentiles. To the weak people, he became weak. In that same way, God relates to us and God shows himself to each of us through each of us in a diversity of ways, through a diversity of gifts. And this diversity can certainly cause conflict in the church. You can have an extrovert and an introvert trying to get along with another, not being able to understand each other. You can have someone that needs to be loved, and you can have two Christians come to them, one wanting the tough love. Hey, man, this is what's going on in your life, and you need to get right, and if you don't change, things are going to go very badly for you, and hell is waiting on you. And you can have the encourager on the other side saying, it's okay, you know, ignore that person, they're speaking hate, those sort of things. Let's just be calm and be kind. You have the doer who, when something needs to be done, they don't want to think about it. They just want to make the decision. They just want to do it. Let's spend the money. Let's make the vote. Let's just get it done. And then you have the thinker that wants to say, hold on, guys. Is this really what we need to be doing? And those people can often clash. You have the spontaneous person that just like suddenly decides, hey, it's time to go to Africa and minister to people. And then you have the organizer that wants to, again, pull back and say, let's think about that. Let's try to have a strategy before we just jump into this new venture. You have the discipler who wants to spend his time around other believers, pouring into them in Sunday school and in other kinds of things, trying to build people. And then you have the soul winner who wants to get out amongst the lost people. And those personalities can often clash. But they can also cause a cool thing called synergy, where we work together, again, for a common purpose. The extrovert can be reminded by the introvert that there's a time where you need to be quiet and listen. And the introvert can be reminded by the extrovert, there's a time when you need to open yourself up and get out there and say what you really think. The tough love guy can tell the encourager, okay, we can give this person so many chances, but eventually we have to lay down the law. And the encourager can remind them, you know, when Jesus loved people, he loved them with compassion. Let's just be a little easier in this situation. The doer can push the thinker out of his head to actually get stuff done. The thinker can cause the doer to not make a big mistake by acting too rashly. And the same with the spontaneous and the organizer. The discipler can remind the soul winner that it doesn't stop when you lead someone to Christ, but that's just the beginning of the disciple-making process. And the soul winner can remind the discipler that every now and then you need to get out of our holy huddle and we need to get out into the world to preach the gospel to those who need it most of all and have never heard it. Our diversity has the power to divide us or unite us. Which will it be? That's a question for you to answer, a question for me to answer. You see, in our church, we have a diverse group of gifts in you all. If you're having marital problems in our church, talk to somebody like David and Paula Quisenberry, been married for a long time. Know the ups and downs, know kids, know all that stuff, and maybe can speak into your situation. You need to organize an event? We have a really good children's minister who has organized some amazing events in the short time that she's been here. Her name's Amy, by the way, if you haven't met her. If you have a loved one that's suffering through depression, I'm going to introduce you to Roxy Fireball because I've never known anybody to be more of an encourager than Roxy. You need something built or cared for? He's not here, he'll be in the second service, but I'm going to introduce you to Paul Pappen, who just needs a hammer and he can fix anything. If you need some sound biblical advice, I'm going to tell you to find a guy like Aaron Jenkins who loves the word, and if he doesn't know the answer, he'll find it for you. If you need a dependable worker, I'm going to tell you about people like David Self, who kind of hang in the background. In the second service, he'll be up there working on the sound system. He's the guy who's basically kept our homeless ministry running for the last several months in the absence of a youth minister. You're feeling down and you need a good one-liner to make you feel better? You guys know you can turn to Bill Louthan on that one, right? You need someone to serve a hurting family, then you need people like Nina Sachs who are going to get together and organize a group of people to prepare a meal for a family and give them that one time on a hard day of a hot meal where they can share together with each other. And hey, if you need a ninja, we even have one of those now. We are a diverse group of people. God has gifted us with diversity. It can be a hindrance, or it can be something that pushes us further into the what we're gifted for, to spread the gospel, to make disciples of all nations. I need you, and you need me. What does that mean for you this morning? It means the church, first of all, needs you. We're good. God is working through us, but we could be better with you on our team. And I don't just mean on our membership role. I mean using your areas of giftedness for the ministry of this church. You have a unique gift. We've talked about that for the last couple of weeks. Again, if you haven't had the opportunity to figure out what that is, turn to scripture, turn to other people, turn to prayer, come and ask your pastor, come and ask somebody you trust, and we can try to figure out how God has gifted you to work in the world. But whatever that unique gift is, use it to minister to people. Find your place in this body. And so here's my challenge for you this morning. The church needs you. Find someone this week that you can serve in this body or in this community. Let's open it up besides just this church. In this community, find someone you can serve with your spiritual gift. If you're an encourager, it's just a word that needs to be spoken in a difficult situation. If you're a good cook, bake something. Whatever it might be, whatever your gift is, find a way to encourage or bless someone in this community today. This church needs you, and you need this church. Not the institution, not just this church in particular. I'm talking about the church as a whole, the church of Jesus Christ. But those of you who live here and our people are plugged in here, you need this body, this group of people. The gifts and abilities that you lack, people in this church have. Maybe another thing that you can do besides just blessing someone else, take the opportunity this week to think of someone in this very body who has been an encouraging word or given an encouraging word or been a blessing to you. Use their spiritual gifts to make your life better and then thank that person. Thank them for blessing you with the way that the Holy Spirit has gifted them. So there's two challenges for you. Serve someone in this community with your spiritual gifts and thank someone who has served you with their spiritual gifts. This church needs you. You need this church. We are a unified church of diverse Jesus followers. Every spiritual gift needed to effectively make disciples in Grandview, Texas, is in this room right now. Every spiritual gift that God wants to utilize to make disciples in this town, in this community, county, and beyond through this body is in this room right now. And if we all lived out our giftedness, we wouldn't be in need as a body. We would have. God would be using us to bless other people. He would be meeting our needs by using other people. And neither would our community be in need, because God would be utilizing our gifts to bless those around us. You are gifted by the Holy Spirit if you are a Jesus follower in a unique and extraordinary way. In a way that he planned before, while he was knitting you together in your mother's womb, to be a part of his plan to redeem the world. And that plan, Jesus states it in the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations. You were gifted to be a disciple maker in a way that God wants to work through you to bring people to him and to bring those who are already in him further into him and greater knowledge of him. And we do this together as a team. I need you, and I don't mean generally you. I do, but I also mean specifically you. I need you. We are part of a body together. If we were just a bunch of Corys or just a bunch of Jareds, we might be okay to do certain things, but we would stink at other things. We're not. We are all members of one body. Each of us serves a different task. Some at the head, where we're out there and everybody knows it, and some serving at the foot, where it just seems like you get walked over and nobody pays attention. But all of us are needed, because I need you, and you need me. And that's part of what it means to be a community of faith, connecting to Jesus, having the spiritual gifts within us to fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, again, your two challenges. Continue to think about how you might be gifted. And really, guys, if you're wondering what that might be, I realize sometimes it's presented as like, oh, you should know your spiritual gift. It's real simple. But if it's something you're struggling with, I would love to help you with that. I believe that's one of the areas that I'm gifted. That's part of my gifting, is to be your pastor and to help lead you in that direction. I would love for you to come by and talk with me, pray with me, whatever it might be, and I can try to help you figure that out in whatever way that we need to do it. And then this week, I challenge you to use your giftedness to bless someone in this community. And then think through the way someone has blessed you from this body and just tell them, thank you for that one time that you did this one thing for me. It will mean a lot, because you need them and they need you. If you need to think or pray about any of this morning, I'm down here to do that with you. If there's anybody here who doesn't know the person that we're talking about that gives us all the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus and what he's done, I would love to introduce you to him. I'll be down here this morning to do that if you would like to come down during our time of invitation, or you can find me after the service if you would rather do that. But again, the altar will be open. I encourage you to pray about, think about those challenges. I'll be here to pray with you, and you can pray down here if you would like, or you can do it where you're at. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and you move during our time of invitation in whatever way God is calling you to. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And God, we thank you for your presence through your Son and your Holy Spirit this morning and every day in our hearts. God, thank you for gifting me. Thank you for gifting us. God, thank you for making us need each other so that we will work together and present you as the unified diversity that you are to a world who needs you. God, we love you. We seek to be followers of you. And God, we ask that you would use us up in making disciples of those around us. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.